This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
We've been talking a lot about masks because, you know, everywhere you go, it's becoming more and more common that places are saying you have to wear a mask to come into our place of business. And we talked recently about a mask that deactivates COVID-19. Well, now we're going to take a look at masks and the science behind mask wear, focusing on breathability, comfort, and filtration. One Ontario-based respiratory protection company, O2 Canada, has designed and perfected the science behind this. What are we talking about? Well, joining us to explain is Dr. Peter Merrick, Chief Medical Officer at O2 Canada. Dr. Merrick, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barb. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Can you tell us a little bit about O2 Canada first?
So O2 Canada is a company that started out in the pollution world. The founders of the company were visiting in Asia, and they became very aware of how polluted the environment was when they were in Beijing, and they wanted to create a mask that would protect people against that environment. And so they spent a lot of time working with the University of Waterloo to perfect a mask that was really good at reducing the amount of airborne particles that were in the air. And that's really how they started out. And then obviously when the COVID pandemic hit, basically the world came knocking on their door, including myself, and that's how we started working together, looking for a solution in terms of personal protective equipment for both healthcare workers and the general public.
It's amazing how much the average person has learned about personal protective equipment through all of this. But I guess the one thing that still remains up in the air is when it comes to purchasing a mask. You know, I think we understand there are different levels of masks, some for frontline workers. Maybe we don't need that same level of mask. But and then you see everybody selling masks and designer masks and decorated masks. And can you maybe tell us about the different classifications of masks and what we should be looking for depending on what our needs are?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really, really important topic for people to understand. For example, O2 Canada is actually a respirator company. We use the word mask and respirator somewhat interchangeably, but masks are predominantly designed to protect other people. So when you think about a mask, let's take, for example, your typical surgical mask. They sort of come in three categories, level one, level two, and level three. And they're really designed to keep that surgical field sterile when, say, for example, a surgeon is operating on a patient. And the main protection that it's offering is towards someone else rather than the person who's wearing it. Whereas a respirator, sort of the typical ones that you see, we talk about N95 masks and P100s and that sort of stuff, are predominantly designed to protect the person who's wearing the thing from aerosolized particles or airborne pollutants in that regard. And so it's an important but subtle distinction to understand. Now, when everybody's wearing masks at the same time, then you have a good deal of protection because everyone's sort of protecting themselves in terms of, or protecting other people because they're containing their droplets from coughing and sneezing and that sort of thing. But if you're in an uncontrolled environment, or for example, when you're in a healthcare environment where you're doing aerosolized medical procedures, where you're intubating a patient or something along those lines, then that's when that really stronger, higher level of protection is required, where you really need a respirator. What's interesting about O2 is that they actually created a respirator that was really designed to filter out air pollution, but it happens to be really good at filtering out other things as well.
Look, that makes perfect sense, the way that you explained it. And are those the masks that both protect others and yourself, are those the ones that are widely available, or those are not the ones that people are seeing? I'm not really sure.
You're correct. So especially during the height of the pandemic, when it first broke, we knew that there was going to be a huge supply chain issue. And in fact, that's how I got involved with O2 Canada. I'd been working overseas and I'd returned to Canada in March. And I was watching how this whole thing was unfolding. And I knew immediately that one of the biggest issues was going to be supply chain. And we've seen that. We've seen issues with, you know, blocked shipments across the border. There's people stealing shipments. And then we have counterfeit masks coming from other countries. And so I really wanted to find a Canadian solution to this problem. And so what you're talking about is for the average person to be able to buy an N95 respirator. So even the disposable ones are technically respirators. is very, very difficult for them to do on any given day, because those resources have largely been directed towards healthcare staff, obviously for a very good reason. But at the same time, people need to understand that just your average mask does have a function. Don't get me wrong. It's very important, especially in terms of protecting other people from the droplets that you might be carrying, but they're less effective at protecting you from what other people are doing. So if you're in a controlled environment, then that's fine. But if you're in an environment that could very easily be contaminated and you can't control what other people are doing as much, it may not offer the same level of protection as you might think it does.
Let me take you through my mask inventory, and maybe you can explain. So what I started out with is the ones that you're pretty much seeing everywhere now. You get them in packs of 10, packs of 20. I think they're blue with white, and they're disposable masks. And then somebody gave me a fabric mask that's just that. It seems to have a couple of layers of fabric. So that's one. And then now I have one that is a fabric mask. It has a removable filter, and it has this little like round grill on the outside. It actually feels easier to breathe with that one, but can you tell me about the different levels of protection with all of those?
So what you're describing, so the first one you described is your typical disposable surgical mask, and that's what this something called the ATSM, and that would be a level one mask, and that's used for basically clinical use, but not really while you're in the operating room or something where you're really worried about getting contaminated with fluids and droplets. And so that's what you're constantly seeing, and that's what typically stores are giving away if you need to come in the door. The cloth mask that you described at the end with the filter, obviously that filter has an important function, but there's two parts to that, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't necessarily understand. And then the third part you talked about was the little button that's usually an exhalation valve. And so the reason why it feels better breathing in that is because it allows you to exhale, and it makes it a lot easier. So you're not retaining, you know, higher levels of carbon dioxide, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily control your droplet emission to other people as well as a result. So that's something to be aware of when you're dealing with that. But filtration is incredibly important. When you think about masks, you really want to think about, you know, three things. It's about how well it fits. If you can wear it comfortably, then that's obviously really important. You know, fluid resistance, and if it gets splashed, is also important as well. And then filtration is extremely important. But if you have a great filter that doesn't fit well to your face, then even if your filter is filtering at 95%, if air is escaping around the other side, then you may not be getting the level of protection that you think you do. And so with healthcare workers, we actually get mask fit tested on typically a two-yearly basis to make sure that the masks that we wear are actually, you know, airtight to our face so that we're getting the level of protection that we need when we wear them.
Very important to discuss. Maskne is a thing. Is that about we're not washing them often enough? How can we prevent maskne?
Look, it's several factors, and I think you need to think about it, and it's about how often you're wearing it. So when I'm wearing my respirator, I'm wearing it 8 hours a day, all day long when I'm at work. And so I wear like an O2 respirator, the O2 curve, and I wear that underneath the surgical mask so that I'm both getting the level of filtration that I'm getting coming in and as well catching my droplets coming out. But where it sits on my face in that airtight seal with the silicone there, you obviously you're getting a buildup of oil, and your pores aren't being able to expel with the oil that's in them as well. And so that's exactly what you're talking about. The portmanteau people are using is maskne. Now, for the average person, you know, if you don't need to be wearing the mask, you don't need to be wearing it all the time. So I'm seeing a lot of people wearing it outside when they're just walking around far apart from other people. When you're outside, you don't necessarily need to be wearing masks. So if you're walking in the park with people in your own household, you know, if you minimize the amount that you're wearing the mask in those environments, it allows you to wear it for longer periods of time when it matters. And then exactly what you said, it's important that you're both washing the mask properly, but also your face afterwards. And that will minimize that. Of course, the longer you're wearing it on a longer term basis, the more that issue of blocked up pores and stuff will happen, and sweat and all those things. So if you can find ways to both clean your face, and also mitigate using it when you don't need to be using it. So educating people appropriately at when the times that you need it, i.e. when you're in an indoor environment where, you know, there are a lot of other people. But if you're standing outside in a park and there's no one very close to you, if you can keep that distance, then the necessity for you to be wearing the mask at that time is certainly a lot less so.
It's been really interesting and informative. Dr. Peter Merrick, thanks so much for this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Chief Medical Officer at O2 Canada, Dr. Peter Marek. You are listening to The Nightside.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.